Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's give Eric Fried credit right off the top here.
Why, my Cavs in five prediction?
No. we both like the Celtics. We thought the Celtics had a shot. We said, I'm sorry.
No.
Wasn't you.
I'll be perfectly upfront on that.
Myself and Kirk Minahan sat here and said Celtics had a shot.
My thought was that the Celtics would be accomplishing something if they took the Cavs past five games, but the Cavs are still going to win.
Well,
I was expecting
they accomplished
to see,
something.
Yeah, I was expecting to see game two Cavs, game three Cavs, I beg your pardon, and not game five, game six Cavs, but these things happen.
No,
and I'm very happy to be wrong about that one.
I want to give you credit for the great use of the Denny Green quote, "They are who we thought they were," in reference to the Boston Bruins. That is a great use of an old school quote that's used now in beer commercials, and now you can use it with the Bruins, Eric Fried, because they are who we thought they were. As they lose a 3-0 series lead, a 3-0 score last night, they lose game seven. Choke City. I don't know what else to say. We talked about this immediately following the loss this week. I was in for Ryder, hanging out with Mikey and Lenny, who was just in here. And we said at the time, and I not much has changed. If they lost the game, I don't care about the injuries, Eric. I don't care about Krejci being out. That none of that crap means anything.
Well, you should care about that a little bit, but we can get into the details.
3-0 series lead, to me, it's inexcusable. And it was an epic choke job by a team that appeared to be on the doorstep of getting to an Eastern Conference final. And just 2 weeks after, everyone's praising the head coach. I sat down with Phil the Thrill, our producer, looking at the call screens with the previous show, and three of the five calls were Claude Julien needs to go. It's an amazing turnaround, what one loss or two losses or three losses or four straight losses.
Four losses, Mike.
Will do for a fan base as the Bruins get knocked out of the tournament.
And rightly so. And I know we just talked with Craig and Lenny just a couple of minutes ago and said, let's turn to the Celtics. No, I'm all for talking Bruins because you get the feeling that our sand is running out of the hourglass to talk hockey here, which I'll speak for myself, but I love to do. But I'd love to be doing it on different terms than talking about a historic, epic collapse. They will be the punchline. They will be the team that will always be referenced to, well, the third team that did it, but the first one since 75, who was up 3-0 and ended up losing 4-3. I don't think there's any way you can make an excuse. There's any way you could sugarcoat it. All you can do is look at it and say, where did things go wrong? Because it didn't come down just to last night, although just the parallel with the series is just amazing. The fact that the Bruins had an easy 3-0 lead last night, they had an easy 3-0 lead in the series, and then the Flyers chipped away in the series. Certainly the case in the game last night when James Van Riemsdyk gets that late goal in the first period, which was so important, I thought, because the Bruins had all the momentum. The Bruins were rolling. They had the three goals, the two power play goals. Things were coming so easily for that team. And then Van Riemsdyk jumps in there and gets that late goal. And you know what that does? It's like in any sport. You get a little something to build on. And in hockey, you get to go in the dressing room for 15, 20 minutes or so and say, all right, that's step one. Peter Laviolette, to his credit, the head coach, local guy, head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, took a timeout, his only timeout, after that third Boston goal. It's 3-0. The goaltender, Michael Layton, is shaky as shaky can be. And you're thinking this is going to be like maybe the Canadiens-Pittsburgh game. It was 4-0 Canadiens in game seven at Pittsburgh, and then game over. Layton settled down. Laviolette's message to the team, reading the Philadelphia papers and some of the details coming out of the locker rooms last night, hey, all we need is to get a goal hit, and all of a sudden we start to feel a little bit better about ourselves. That's what happened. Second period, another period where the Bruins are dominated. I mean, that has been a theme throughout. Well, that was. I got to start speaking in past tense terms here.
Season is over.
Exactly. And it's hard to get grips with because they were so close. They should be in a position right now to be playing the Montreal Canadiens, the number 8 seed in the East for a trip to the Stanley Cup
at
Finals.
At the Garden tomorrow night. Home ice advantage.
When you start thinking about the different layers here for the Bruins, you're going to just get more and more upset. But where this series started to turn, I don't think there's any question it's game four. I mean, you're up 3-0. Philadelphia had nothing going. You're in game four in Philadelphia. You know, the fans had checked out in game three. Fans had kind of checked out a little bit in game four, certainly. It was a tight game. You get the goal late in game number four with Recchi's goal with 31 seconds to go, and you're like, boom, there you go. You come out like you did in overtime of game one when the Bruins outshot the Flyers 15-4 in that overtime period. Like, hey, we've got the momentum. Let's jump out. That's the series right there. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, there's no question that you look at it and that said, that was the moment, because Philadelphia gets the goal in game four from Gagne. All right. So when the series went to Philadelphia,
the first three games, by the way,
broken toe in game four against the Devils. Okay. And you're thinking, well, you may not see Gagne in the series. And if you do, he's not going to be at 100%. But obviously, he provided a spark for this team. He gave the Bruins someone else to think about. Well, Daniel Briere is able to go off and be his unstoppable self. And Daniel Briere is not unstoppable, but he looked unstoppable, especially in game seven.
And real quick, what he did in following some of the Philadelphia papers early on in the series, Mike Richards, who had a great series against the Bruins, he's doing double shifts, Eric. He's having to play on a couple different spots where he's not usually playing because Gagne's out. Gagne returns. Richards now allowed to play his normal role and not double shift with guys. And so I thought Gagne coming back not only gave the team a lift with bringing a great goal scorer back, but allowed other guys to go back to their roles. So you're absolutely right. That was the seismic change in this series going back to game four for a whole host of reasons.
Well, you go back to game three because that's when Krejci was injured. And we're not here to make excuses today.
He's a great player.
I agree great with you 100%. Player. But when Krejci, who was their top offensive player of the playoffs, when he goes down, you don't know it maybe at the time. You're like, well, we've got this series in the bag. You know, let's see if we can work that. No, you don't have the series in the bag, okay? You won game three. That was great. But Krejci was down. Sturm was down. You're talking about losing two of your top six forwards, all right? Mm. So we're looking at a series. You know, Sturm goes down first shift to game one. Krejci goes down in game three. And the Flyers, by surviving game four, the game when the Bruins needed to put this one away because – we can see it here, and it's not just hindsight. They certainly can see it there. Like, hang on a second. We've got two of our top six forwards down. We've got a young goaltender who's shown a couple of little cracks in the armor. He's been great. He's been better than what we expected. He supplanted last year's Vezina Trophy winner. But, you know, if we get the series done early, we could all use the rest. And game four, they didn't seize up and they didn't take advantage of it. Gagne scores off a turnover mistake, thrown away by Chara. There's your momentum building. And if you look at the two teams right there at that point, okay, compare the rosters and you make a great point. Gagne comes back, Richards, Hartnell, Pronger on the blue line, guys with toughness. Guys are going to throw their weight around.
Team.
Now, it looked like
it
was going to come up and bite them last night when they picked up a couple of stupid penalties. I see that early. I'm like, good.
It's two zip.
They're
and I'm
calling
thinking,
it tight, you know. But that toughness, Mike, they were not going to be beaten in that department, okay? And all they needed was a chance. Game four gave them that chance. Game five, epic no-show by the Bruins. 4-0. Now you throw into the mix here in that game, Mike, Brian Boucher, their goaltender, gets injured. So you got this guy, Michael Layton, who hasn't played in a couple months. He comes in, and we've seen him at times. We saw him at times in those final three games of the series, how shaky he could be. But you know what? Made a great save on Savard last night in the third period. Bruins almost shut out in game number six. And at this point, you're in a game seven. You're in an elimination game.
At home.
But think about it. Elimination game, you think about it in any sport, Mike. Any sport. It's different. It's a different mindset. You're desperate. Your back is against the wall. And for the Bruins, that was their first elimination game of the season. They made it into the playoffs before the last regular season game. The Flyers needed to win their last regular season game to get into the playoffs.
It's a great point. That's so an elimination game. The final game of the regular season is an elimination game, Philadelphia. Great point.
Flyers roll through New Jersey, okay? They don't face it there. But against the Bruins, that last night was their fourth elimination game of the playoffs.
You want to count that regular season game,
Well, that's five overall. So that, to me, I think that's huge. I mean, the Flyers obviously played a lot better. You know, once their backs were to the wall, and when the momentum started to turn, the Bruins still had that mindset. And correct me if you feel differently, or try to correct me, because I don't think I'm going to be knocked off my little angry pedestal.
I'm enjoying this right now. This is a really fired up Adam Fried here. I'm enjoying this.
When the momentum started to turn, I still felt the Bruins had that mindset, or the way they approached certainly Game 5, Game 6. Like, you know what? We got triple championship point here. You know, it's like a tennis player up 40 love.
Oh, we're looking forward to this.
Yo,
Lucic, oh, we're looking forward to this. Well, no, we're not. It was.
Wow.
Those were the quotes.
Wow.
From this team.
And then.
Complacency.
I didn't read every last detail that was written after yesterday's game, but I read a lot. I think it was Joe Haggerty who alluded to a player. There wasn't a name attached to that player, but that player, and I don't know if that player was speaking like on behalf of the team, about how the Bruins, when they're up 3-0 in the game last night, they're thinking about Montreal a little bit because things were coming so easy.
Well,
shame on you.
Joe will join us just after 4 o'clock here, and we'll get Joe's thoughts on this. Joe has done a great job covering the Bruins all season for the folks at Comcast and CSNNE, and he will join us just after 4 o'clock. All that being said, I cannot disagree with anything you just said. You've hit every single sort of talking point
I'm just getting started.
I'm going to sit back. This is your show today.
All right,
I'm going to sit back.
Let's open up the phone lines, people.
I'm going to watch the racing at Pimlico Preakness Day, and you're going to basically handle the guts of the show. But all that being said, it's 3-0 last night. And my biggest concern going into Game 7 was, going back and tying it into something you said. This is the first elimination game for the Bruins, and I thought having lost 3 games in a row, Eric, in the warm-up line for the National Anthem, the sticks would be shaken. The gloves would be shaken. The Bruins holding their sticks a little bit tighter in that game last night. Sweat pouring out of them. And yet they get the power play goal. They get the power play goal. It's 2-0. 3-0. 3-0 at home. Forget the series. Go back to last night. That was the exclamation point on the choke job. Can't clear the puck. Turning it over. Too many men on the ice. I don't care, Mark Recchi, at what point of the game that is. You don't get banged for that call at that point in the game leads to a power play goal by guess who?
Gagne.
Ball game. See ya. Golf course open. Bruins are playing today.
I know there's going to be a lot of talk here today, and rightly so, about the epic fail turned in by the Bruins, and that's what it is. And this team had a chance, much like the Red Sox team of 2004. And it's tough to draw analogies between the two sports, but I'm going to try here a little bit. That 2004 team, they didn't erase 86 years of bad history because that is always there. But what that team was able to do is say, okay, now the memories created here in 2004, we're going to put those on the all-time Red Sox moments list. That is now ahead of Bucky Dent. That is now ahead of Game 7 against the Reds. That is now ahead of Fisk's home run. That is now ahead of Bill Buckner. You can go right. That is now ahead of Aaron Boone. You understand what I'm saying? What you can pick any moment you want from 2004, the Dave Roberts steal, the Bill Miller base hit, Ortiz's
Schilling, Damon. You're about to go down
bloody,
the list, sure.
I mean, we could sit here and go through things easily. This Bruins team had a chance to do the same thing. And if you want to sit out there and if you want to call and say, well, you know what? They overachieved. They didn't have a sniper. They were able to get more out of it than I expected. And you know what? To get to the second round and get that close, I like the groundwork that's been laid. I like Tuca in goal. I like the guys that are coming back. Then shame on you, because that means you're happy being the Chicago Cubs. That means you're happy being the Toronto Maple Leafs. That means you're happy just being a team that's going to show up once in a while, maybe get your hopes up a bit. But in the end, you're going to come up short. And this was their chance to erase all that bad history that's been around right now.
And instead, the exact opposite happens.
No doubt.
This now goes to the top of the list where
you
the Red Sox took a very strong moment and didn't erase it, but pushed those things down a peg by putting that 2004 season against the Yankees and championship at the top of the pedestal. Now this goes towards the top of recent Bruins issues, and they still, since 1992, have not been to a conference final and had a chance up 3-0 as the home team in this series to get back to an Eastern Conference final and host games 1, 2, 5, and 7 against the Montreal Canadiens in that Eastern Conference final and choked that chance away.
That was just page one of my notes from last night's game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.